Welcome to the EricD.net podcast. This is a podcast for September 1st, 2005. This podcast will mainly be about podcasting and kind of what I've been doing for so long, since it's been a while since I've had one of these podcasts, and I do apologize for that. So hang back, hang loose, and we'll get right to it. So my last podcast was actually posted on August 6th, and it dealt with the future of Flash. The future of Flash is certainly something that we're all going to feel very shortly, and it ought to make everyone smile as wide as your mouth can take it. So what have I been up to recently? There's been a number of things, actually. Probably the least has been I've actually built a new office here at home. I have a brand new desk. I have file cabinets and a new shelving and the whole thing. And it's a really nice setup. It's really nice wood, although I did have to put most of this stuff together myself. I was going to opt to have somebody come in, and I forget how much it was, like $180, $200 to have them set the whole thing up. And in retrospect, I probably should have done that. I ended up carrying a ton of boxes out of the SUV, and actually most of the boxes didn't completely fit inside the SUV, so I had these bungee cords creatively strapping these boxes to the back of the SUV there. And for the most part, it was pretty manageable, except for the actual desk itself. I'd say that box had to have weighed at least 250 pounds, and it was probably about 7 feet long. And not thinking very well, I ended up moving that entire box, and I ended up actually kind of rolling the box on the lawn up to the front steps, and then kind of like pushing with all my might to get this thing in through the door without smashing anything. And I ended up straining my ankle there for a while. I've been wearing a brace on my ankle for about 2 weeks now, and it's just starting to really finally heal. So anyway, much nicer office. That actually did eat up a lot of time. And besides just kind of stupid, trivial setting up the office and, you know, cleaning up cords and throwing away some old equipment and rewiring some certain things and upgrading this and that and the other thing, I've been extremely busy at work, and I'm actually wrapping up work at Convoke, where I've been working for the past 3 years now. If you are unfamiliar with Convoke, it's a startup. And basically what we have done, using Flash as the client in the front end, and actually is our meeting, is to create something that's sort of like Breeze. It's not nearly as feature rich as Breeze. One of the things that does separate Convoke, and the product's name is ASAP, is that we have a notion of presence, and we have our own presence, and we also aggregate all your MSN and your AOL and your Yahoo and your Same Time and your LCS, all those presence. And what it will do is aggregate those. And if actually for a contact, if it doesn't have that, you can use an email address, which of course you won't be able to get presence from. But nonetheless, the whole premise behind the idea was to be able to get people together when you need them. Lots of times you might end up calling somebody on the phone or sending someone an instant message and they're not available, they're away, you don't know where they are, you kind of just hit and miss, try to get in touch with them. So a big part of what ASAP does is it will actually let you pick one or more than one people to meet with, and as soon as all of those people are present, it'll kick off a meeting and get you all together, so you don't have to sit there and do all that extra work of trying to track down certain people. And I could probably go on and talk for several hours about Convoke ASAP, and all the features that it has, and all the things that I've actually learned while working on the project. It's been a really great ride, and actually Jeremy Allaire is on the board of Convoke, and he actually got me the position there at Convoke. Previously to working at Convoke, I was doing some consulting on my own, and having a lot of fun doing it too. But when Jeremy kind of suggests that you check out a company, and he's excited about it, you got to go for the interview. And it's been a great job, and it's been a great ride. And but unfortunately, that time is now coming to a close. I have accepted a position at the Bose Corporation here in Framingham, which is actually about 15 minutes away from our house, and it's going to be in the R&D building. It's got a brand new experience, consumer electronics, basically everything except for automotive, as far as I know. I have yet to start the job. I start the job soon. I'm still going to be heavily involved with flash development, but there's also going to be that whole consumer electronics kind of whole user experience that I'm going to be able to draw on and also learn more about, which I think it's an incredible opportunity. It's a fantastic company. The team that they have there is amazing. My boss is awesome. And it's just going to be a very, very, very creative, freewheeling to a point, rapid prototyping, getting a whole code library set up, implementing source control, and kind of molding a really large flash development, initiative at Bose. And I just think it's going to be an amazing time. It's an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. So that's actually kind of taken a bunch of my time. I've been, I was preparing for that and interviewing and kind of getting a lot of some of my sample work, the stuff that I could find, presented to some people at Bose. And it was a nice process, but it took a little time. Setting up the new office and some kind of random things around the house and the whole Bose thing, which kind of relates back to the fact that I have a pretty decent stack of things that Convoke would like me to finish up or at least get rolling into a pretty decent degree before I actually leave, which I completely understand. So things have been kind of rocking, and there's been other things going on. This podcast isn't exactly going to be all about interactive technology or necessarily even Flash, but one thing that I wanted to focus in on a little bit in this podcast, which in this podcast might be a little shorter than you're used to, is the whole notion of podcasting itself and kind of how I go about doing it. I'm using GarageBand right now as I speak, and I'm actually monitoring my microphone, and I'm watching this track being recorded, and just to kind of give some other people a little bit of a heads up about, all the steps that are involved. And also I just wanted to mention as well that I received an email not too long ago, and I was contacted by Pete. I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name, Pete. A-Y-L-W-A-R-D, Aylward, who's a product manager at Friends of Ed Publishing. And he'd caught one of my podcasts and actually sent me a PDF of a book that just came out called Podcast Solutions, The Complete Guide to Podcasting. It's written by Michael Geoghegan and Dan Klass, with a foreword by Adam Curry. sent me the PDF, actually asking me to, you know, check it out, see what I thought. Perhaps I'd want to blog about it, or, you know, just kind of give it an online review. And since, after reading the four chapters, I received actually today this the actual book in my hands, and I have actually flipped through this thing, and I will talk about it, and hopefully through the combination of kind of telling you how I go about setting up and preparing and actually recording and mixing and, you know, going through the whole process of getting a podcast online for other people to be able to listen to. And this book, you should, if you're interested in podcasting at all, should have a really firm foothold on how to get the whole thing going. If you hear some crickets and some frogs possibly in the background during this recording, I apologize. I'm actually out on the back porch here. What time is it? It's nearly 11 o'clock. I think the neighbors are all asleep, so they'll either think I'm on the phone or I'm crazy. I don't suspect they'll think that I'm doing a podcast right now. So I think I'll actually start by talking really quickly about this book, Podcast Solutions. I flipped through this thing. I've read four of the chapters previously. And basically, I can just read through the chapters here. Chapter 1 is Podcasting 101. Talks about the history of podcasting, you know, MP3s, audio blogs. And actually, I remember on my blog, somebody came out with something called Oddblog, where you could actually blog from your cell phone directly to your blog using the Blogger APIs. And I think Google actually purchased that company eventually, and I think they still offer that service. I haven't done it in a really long time, but it worked really well. So I know I tried to do that from a few conferences, but that seems kind of like a precursor to podcasting as we know it today. And then they have here a chapter on listening to podcasts, iPodder.org, iTunes, other directories, listen at the site, which you can use the QuickTime player or, you know, Flash. I've even rolled out some podcasting things for, I believe it was beercasting.com. Basically, their notion was just to get a whole bunch of people together, various bars, drinking beer, talking about whatever, recording that and having that as a podcast. And actually, they're pretty interesting because a lot of the topics that they talked about were pretty interesting. And as the beer flowed, the opinions and the topics got even more interesting, I have to tell you. It has a podcasting how-to. I'm pretty much going to talk to that today, kind of how I do it myself. It has planning your podcast, a lot of that you can probably skip. Podcasting tools, there's a lot of good stuff here. It covers a lot of microphones, audio interfaces, and then it gets into some recording software. And basically, this book is very heavily weighted towards the PC as opposed to the Mac. Have to tell you that right up front. There's a ton of solutions for the Mac, which I'll actually... I'll tell you about what I use. So, if you do pick up this book, there's a ton of stuff in here for the PC. There are a lot of applications. You probably heard of Cast Blaster as well. If you listen to Curry.com, Adam Curry's blog or podcast, it's pretty cool. It's something that you could definitely even build in Flash 8 with the file IO and basically making a console. Well, you could probably do most of it. You can't do all of it. I've actually thought about rolling that myself up in Objective-C in a nice little OS X application. I still might do that if I ever find the time to do it. It probably wouldn't be too hard. And then they have recording your podcast, putting it all together, preparing your file, serving it up. Basically, I'll be covering some of that and how I do that today. And then we have here getting heard, making money. Getting heard is it's a good thing. It's kind of common sense promotion on your part, you know. And then getting listed perhaps at iTunes and iPodder.org and Podcast Alley and some places like that. It's a good idea. There's so many podcasts out there. The chances are kind of slim that someone's going to find you. I think I have right now about 128 subscribers, and I get that that information from FeedBurner, which I'll talk about FeedBurner in a little bit. This making money with podcasting, personally, I could care less, but a lot of people, you know, if you're going to spend the time and the effort and, you know, putting in the work, I guess getting paid isn't really such a bad thing. But personally, I could care less about getting paid. This is more fun, and hopefully someone gets something out of these podcasts. That's the whole point of where I'm coming at it from. And so that's kind of like about the gist of this book. It really does cover, you know, from A to Z here. It talks about kind of like the pre-podcast days and the podcasting as it is now, how you can get it going, and kind of, you know, advertising and sponsors all the way up to maybe perhaps where this is all leading and maybe the next generation of podcasting. So, I think it's about time that I start talking about actually how I prepare and produce these podcasts on my own, which I think that once you hear it, you'll find out that it's not really that daunting at all. So the first thing that I found myself having to do was to create a bumper. I listened to a few other podcasts, and I noticed that they had some kind of little you know, musical jingle that basically when you heard it, you would associate the music with, you know, that podcast. As soon as you heard it, bang, I'm listening to MacCast or, you know, whatever that thing was. So I never actually intended to use GarageBand on OS X to actually record my audio. I only really intended to use it to create my bumper. So I actually created probably, you know, 6 or 7 GarageBand songs, you know, on the bass loops that come with GarageBand, and I believe I had a couple loop packs or something that I bought. I actually like playing around in GarageBand. It's pretty fun. So I kind of settled on a few, and I chose one, which is the one that you heard at the beginning of this show that I've been using, you know, the entire time. And so basically all I did was exported that into iTunes, which actually generates an AIFF, which then now I have this AIFF, and I can just throw that into another GarageBand file. So what I did was, you know, I would name a new podcast by, you know, the date. Like, this is SCP_1, and I will actually I'll start this new file. I have a voice actually preset that I've played around kind of. I've got this crappy USB headphone still, or headphone and microphone set, and I had to play around with some vocal settings to get it to sound somewhat decent. And so I've saved that, so when I make a new track, I just make sure that I'm using this, you know, custom voice setting that I've prepared ahead of time. And I'll drag in my AIFF for my my bumper, and I'll use that, and I will record straight in through GarageBand. If there's any audio, I mean, you've got as many, basically as many tracks as your computer can handle. I think the most I've ever used so far, at least for podcasts anyway, is probably about 3, and that was only because I had to do some audio editing, and I had it spread on 2 tracks, so, but anyway. So recording in GarageBand is actually pretty easy. I believe that there's a 30-minute limit to a GarageBand recording, and I'm closing in on 19 right now, 19, 15, 16, 17. So I've got plenty to go here anyway. So once I have recorded all my audio, I usually generally don't really go back and edit anything unless I completely flub up or I get stuck on a word or something like that. I think a raw podcast is much better than an overly produced one. That's just my opinion anyway. Then I will take this and I will actually mix it down by exporting it into iTunes again. And that will, if iTunes isn't already open, open iTunes, do the conversion, and you'll actually end up with an AIFF. I use iTunes subscriptions, their podcasting service, to get listed. So actually, what I do is instead of just producing, you know, taking that AAF and then converting that to an MP3 and throwing that online, I've actually gone the MP4 route, to where I can inject a whole bunch of metadata and that iTunes can actually display. So I have chaptering in all my podcasts. That's only possible through iTunes and this MP4. Granted, it's not really as widely distributable as an MP3, because MP3s, you know, everybody can play that. I just like the extra features in iTunes, and I like the way that Apple has approached podcasting, and they've taken it pretty seriously. So I've opted to go that way. I realize that kind of limits my audience a bit. If I just threw it out there as an MP3, a whole lot more people would probably listen to it, although I'm sure that the penetration for iTunes isn't too shabby. So anyway, so once I have created this MP4 file, Apple has actually released a beta chaptering tool, which a lot of people have actually created GUIs for. And I actually use one of those now, and it's called Chapter ToolMe. You can go to Version Tracker, just Google for that. It actually makes chaptering a lot easier. It actually generates your XML for you, pulls in all the image files that you want to use for your chaptering, you know, sets up your links, and basically uses the Chapter Tool command line application in conjunction with all the stuff that you put into it, and it creates a new MP4 file, which actually has all the data in it that can be pulled by iTunes. So now that you've got this MP4 file, which is your podcast, what do you do with it? Personally, my blog, I use Blogger. I host my own data. I don't use their service. And I have a few blogs set up, and I actually have a podcasting specific blog set up. It produces its own basically includes, which I actually pull in through ASP into a page instead of just going the straight HTML route. And Blogger will automatically create RSS feeds for you. So basically what I've done is, okay, I've got this separate RSS feed just for my podcasts. So I've got this XML file on my server. And using a service called FeedBurner, which you can set up a free account. You give it your source feed URL, which is the direct path to the XML file for my podcast feed. I give it a title, I give it a URI, and basically what I do is I set up, and it's something called SmartCast in FeedBurner, is I can give it a podcast image URL, a podcast description. I can put some key search words in there. I can provide a podcast author email, a content category, a subcategory, a copyright, an author, all kinds of really cool stuff. And basically what it does is I can either ping FeedBurner once my blog RSS feed is on the server, it's been updated. This will go actually out, grab that feed, make its own feed using enclosures and all this other iTunes specific information, and provide a new feed, and that's the one that actually people will subscribe to. And what it does is it will actually look for in Blogger, at least there's a link field that under your title field for when creating your RSS feeds out of Blogger. You can put your link, your direct link to that MP4 file that you've prepared, and it's actually on a server. Don't forget to upload that someplace. It'll actually grab that, or what you can do is in your actual blog posting is, as long as you're going to use an href someplace and you actually link to your file, FeedBurner will do is that it will look for the first link And if it determines that it's to like an audio file or video or some kind of streaming media format, what it will do is convert that into an enclosure tag in the Feedburner RSS. So, and that enclosure tag is so you can allow iTunes knows where to go get that because of the enclosure tag. Yahoo RSS will know where to get that. You know, all those popular RSS readers and stuff like that. So podcasting clients. So basically, so my let's see, my URL for my Feedburner is feeds.feedburner.com/version60, and that will actually take you to my specific Feedburner RSS file, and that will actually allow you to pull those MP4 files right into iTunes. Now I'm listed in iTunes, and that makes things a lot easier. And actually, when it grabs them from Feedburner. Blogger on its own does not have the ability to create RSS with enclosure tags. And you really can't edit any aspects of the RSS or the XML that Google's Blogger generates. What Feedburner does is allow you to access all the data that's in that feed and inject a whole bunch of other stuff that makes it work with podcasting clients. So far, it's been super smooth, and I really highly suggest Feedburner. There's a lot of other free services that you can get with Feedburner as well, which includes splicing feeds, statistics, that sort of thing. So I'm actually starting to run out of time here in GarageBand. I'm closing in on 26 minutes, and I usually don't listen to podcasts that are any longer than 30 minutes anyway, especially on one topic. If I was all over the place and I was playing mashups and had some interviews, which I'm still trying to get some interviews, I've gotten people to accept, and then you know we schedule these times to do these Gizmo Project VoIP recordings and stuff, and either I get busy or they get busy. It just hasn't really worked out yet. I was going to have a great one where myself and a couple of friends are just going to get on and talk about stuff we like and stuff we don't like. It has nothing to do with Flash or interactive. We've had a couple of conversations like that on real phones. We've had a good time. It's a lot of fun. And wouldn't you know it, now that I've got some free time to start podcasting again, one of the guys decides to go get up and go on vacation. You know, my next week is kind of busy. I'm closing up work. I'm gonna see a few people downtown in Boston, and then the next week I'm starting my job at Bose. So anyway, I kind of think skirted a lot of technical issues when talking about how I set up my podcasts, but to be honest with you, you shouldn't be put off by the notion of podcasting. It does take a bit of time. It's not like it's anything that you're really going to sweat. It's just a lot of busy work to get it all working and up. But trust me, anybody can podcast. It's a lot of fun. It just does. It takes up some time. It takes up some energy. And you have to be willing to deal with that a little bit to get it to work the way you want it to. But personally, I find this thing fulfilling anyway. I don't always get to talk with other people kind of like on this casual kind of a level every day while I'm at work. You know, everybody's is busy. We're doing code reviews. We're doing this. We're doing that. You know, I have got a problem with CVS, this kind of stuff. But it doesn't seem like anybody really takes the time much anymore just to have kind of casual conversations. And I think, you know, this alone just kind of reduces some of the stress that I feel from day to day. It's a nice thing. And hopefully it helps the community a little bit. My next podcast, I guarantee you, will be much, much better than this podcast. Much more interesting topics. And I'll be damned if I don't get one of those VoIP interviews on this. I said it. So until then, anyway, keep on flashing.